News. Paul Theroux discusses his latest novel in book club, set in Africa, which inspired his writing career and fueled a very public spat. Book club is at four. Now on Radio 4, it's time for our classic serial. After spending most of the summer floating in the pool, Benjamin Braddock has made a decision about his future. Episode 2 of The Graduate by Charles Webb, adapted for radio by Polly Thomas.
I drove through the night and got to Berkeley at about 6 a.m. the next day. Nowhere much was open. I found an early coffee shop, so I ate 4 donuts, drank a soda, and slept for a couple of hours. When I woke up, I drove to the nearest car lot and sold the car. I hadn't brought much with me, so I went to a store and bought a toothbrush. Then I walked around till I found a student lodging house.
And there's to be no women in the rooms.
No, sir. Of course not.
Not after 10 p.m.
Absolutely. I wouldn't dream of it.
God. Turn it down! Turn it down!
That's better.
Yeah. So, you a student?
No, sir.
So what do you do? This is a student town.
I'm a traveling salesman.
I
don't think the landlord liked me much. I guess I was a little disheveled the first time he met me. So he had a point.
Here. This is yours. Here you are. Kind of basic, but it's cheap.
This is perfect. Just perfect.
Where's the rest of your stuff?
Oh, the rest of it.
Yeah. Well, that's not much.
I travel light.
In your car?
Yes. No. I don't have a car.
How can you be a traveling salesman without a car?
It's following on.
Rent in cash, a week in advance.
Yes, sir. Okay. Here, take the first 2 weeks up front. 3.
Two will do just fine.
Whatever you say, sir.
So what do you sell?
A new line?
Of what?
Stuff?
Stuff?
Stuff.
Huh.
My room overlooked Telegraph Avenue, which was full of bookshops and students and people drinking coffee. I could slide the window open about 6 inches and just squeeze my head out by turning sideways and jamming the window open with my toothbrush. Once I'd got my head out, I could gently turn round so I didn't dislodge the toothbrush and send the window crashing down on my neck, and watch the world. Mainly, I was watching the students, mainly the girls, and mainly trying to spot Elaine. It was a long time, maybe 10 days, before I saw her. Elaine! Hey, Elaine! Look up! It's Benjamin! Elaine, look up! It's me! Damn it! Ow! Oh, God damn it! God damn it!
Stop chasing down those darn stairs! You break them!
Sorry, sir. I have a meeting.
about my sales figures.
Don't slam the...
So I had seen her, which was good. But by the time I got to the street, she disappeared. I roamed campus all afternoon trying to spot her again. No luck. So I wrote her a letter.
Dear Elaine, I now live in Berkeley after growing somewhat weary of family life. I have been meaning to stop by and pay my respects, but I'm not entirely certain just how you feel about seeing me after the incident involving myself and your mother. It was certainly a serious mistake on my part, but not serious enough, I hope, to alter permanently your feelings about me. Your... Ugh. Be quiet! Please! Thank you! Oh, God. Right. Your friendship means a great deal to me, and it would be a burden off my mind to know that. Dear Elaine, I love you, and I can't help myself, and I'm begging you to forgive me for what I did. I love you so much. I'm terrified of seeing you every time I step out the door. I cringe in terror that you will be there. Please help me. Please forget what I did. I am helpless and hopeless and lost and miserable. Please help me. Please, dear Elaine, forget what I did. Please. Oh, God. Dear Elaine, I love you. I love you. Forget what I... What I... Oh, no!
The next day, I saw her. She was by a water fountain, talking to some girls as they left class. She was carrying her books. She looked happy.
Hi.
Oh my God!
Elaine, I really need to see you.
Stay away from me. Come any nearer and I'll scream.
Please, Elaine.
Don't.
Okay? Look, I stopped. See, I stopped exactly where you asked me to, okay? I don't want to touch you.
You
I just
will not touch me. Don't you
I
even
said
dare.
I don't want to. I just want to talk.
So talk. I have to go in a minute. I have class.
I'm sorry.
Sorry? After what you did, you think sorry makes it okay?
I was horrible.
Horrible?
But it won't happen again. I promise it's over.
It should have never happened in the first place.
I know.
Wait. You came up here all this way to say sorry?
You left all of a sudden. I went round and your mother...
You saw my mother?
Yes, she was a little hurt.
Then, you know what? Don't ever come near me again. Do you hear? Never speak to me, don't follow me, never call, never write, okay?
Never?
Ever. You can never make amends for what you did. Ever. Ever!
I watched her go. Her hair was shining in the sun and she walked so lightly, like the ground was making itself especially soft just for her to walk on. I could have lain down and swapped places with the ground. I'd never felt like this before. I went home and thought about it for a while. I had no idea how I was going to get her to marry me if she wouldn't even talk to me. I lay down to think. I must have drifted off, because when I woke up, it was dark, and there was someone in my room.
Hello? Hello, is someone there? Listen, I don't have any money. Well, I have a little. It's in the pocket of my pants, on the dresser by the window. I guess you can't see it. Go ahead, put the light on. I won't look. I'll put the sheet over my head. You can take your money, and then you can go. Go ahead. Please, take it. I have the blanket over my head now. I can't see you. I'm really tired. Take it, please. Then I can go back to sleep. I won't call the police. I promise.
You have nothing I want.
Okay, I'm sorry. Do I know you?
You have nothing that can ever make up for what you did.
Oh, wait a minute. Mr. Robinson? Wait. Oh, it is you. Mr. Robinson, hi.
Do you have a special grudge against me? A particularly strong resentment for me for some reason?
No, it has nothing to do with you, sir. There was
no personal element involved?
There was not.
Well, that's an interesting way of looking at it, Ben. When you sleep with another man's wife, and you say there's
Mr. Robinson, we're civilized human beings. I accept that it was my responsibility.
You don't respect me terribly much, do you?
Listen, we got into bed with each other, but it was nothing. Nothing at all. We might as well have been shaking hands.
Shaking hands? Ben, I think you're old enough to know there's a little difference between shaking hands with a woman and...
Stop! Listen, Mr. Robinson. I'm sorry I slept with your wife. Truly, I am. But I don't love her. I love your daughter.
Look, I think we've talked about this enough, and I don't know if I can prosecute or not. But I think maybe I can, and in light of what's happened, I think maybe I can get you behind bars if you ever look at my daughter again.
What?
Elaine called to say that you'd been harassing her. That's why I'm here. I'm going back now, back to my wife, and I never want to hear that you've been troubling Elaine again. I suggest you leave here in the morning, go to Mexico, drive off a cliff, just get the hell out of our lives. I don't care what you do.
Mr. Robinson, I don't think...
Ben! I don't want to mince words with you. I think you're totally despicable. I think you're scum. I think you're filth. And as far as Elaine's concerned, get her out of your filthy mind right now. And should you choose to ignore me, you can be really sure you are going to regret it.
I was troubled, very troubled, by Mr. Robinson's visit. I lay down and thought some more. The next day, it weighed heavy on my mind, but I was determined to find Elaine and find out if she shared her father's views.
Mr. Braddock!
Good afternoon, sir. You startled me. Is there a problem?
No.
Okay, well, have a good day.
No, wait!
Sir?
Was there a man in your room last night?
Oh, that,
Was there?
Well, yes, in a manner of speaking. He's...
Shh! Now listen, son. I don't know what game you're playing, but I don't want no trouble. You understand? No weird stuff.
Mr. Robinson is a family friend. I hope you don't think... Well, I can assure you, sir, he was just visiting.
Why don't he visit in daylight hours?
He was on a business trip. It was a spur-of-the-moment visit. I'll suggest he call round during the day next time, for sure. Though, I don't think there'll be a next time. He's gone abroad.
Abroad?
That's right.
But he just thought he'd drop in at 1 a.m. on his way to the airport.
Yes, kind of. I know it might look odd. He's kind of eccentric.
I'll let it go this time. No more night visitors. You got it?
Oh, Absolutely, sir. No more night visitors. Gotta go. Stuff to sell.
What kind of stuff?
I walked around the entire campus looking for Elaine. I thought I saw her once and ran up to the girl. Then she turned around, wasn't Elaine, and looked freaked out. So I went home and lay down for a while. I wasn't sure what to do next. The next day, I went to the library. But no sign of Elaine. I wrote a letter to my folks, but didn't send it. It had got to the afternoon and I was hungry. So I went out looking for a coffee shop. Then it started to rain. I was walking along the street, wondering what to do next, when I walked past a bus stop, and there she was.
Hey! Funny, I'm waiting for a bus too. You look nice. Your dad came to see me.
What?
He turned up in my room the other night. He seemed kind of angry.
How did he find you?
I don't know. He's a determined guy. I guess it's not too hard for someone who is that determined.
Well, what did he say?
Oh, stuff. He seemed pretty upset.
What did he say?
That I wasn't to talk to you ever again. That's what your mother said, too.
I don't want to talk about her.
Okay. Nor do I.
Please leave me alone.
Sure. I just need to get this bus, that's all. Where are you going?
That's none of your business.
Hey, you nearly told me. Oh, come on, Elaine, don't do this. Just because your folks don't like me...
I don't like you. I can make up my own mind.
I know. And I really like your mind. It's the best mind I've encountered in a long, long time. It's a great-looking mind.
And how would you know what my mind looks like?
I can see it. Every time you smile.
Really?
There it is again. So where are you going?
Well, I guess I'm going on a date.
Oh. Anyone I know?
No. How could you?
You're right. You're the only person I know in Berkeley.
So, you really did come all this way for me?
Sure. It wasn't for the weather.
He's a science major.
Nice. Good mind?
Great mind.
Where's he taking you?
We're going to the zoo.
No. There's a coincidence.
What?
I'm going to the zoo.
No. Really?
Yes, I am. There's a very fine striped rhinoceros I just have to see.
Rhinoceros don't have stripes.
Yes, rhinoceri do.
That's not a real word.
Is.
It's not.
Is.
Is not.
She was smiling. She wasn't screaming. She was laughing and joking with me. This was good. In fact, it was great. When the bus came, we got on together. We talked all the way about her classes, her roommate, Berkeley, politics, what music we both liked. It was nice. Very nice indeed. At one point, I touched her hand by accident.
Don't do that!
Sorry! I'm sorry. I didn't mean to.
Okay, just be careful it doesn't happen again. In fact, maybe it would be better if you sat over there.
What?
Over there, so I can see you.
Okay. I'll sit over here.
That's better.
Sure. Do you want me to sit right up front with the driver? I can shout to you. I did semaphore with the scouts. I can signal.
No, just there is fine.
She seemed so relaxed with me, then she froze over. Then she was fine again. Like she couldn't make up her mind if she liked me or hated me. It was strange. We got to the zoo. I said I'd walk with her to her date. She was meeting him by the chimps. Which made sense, because when we got there, he was a real chump. He was wearing a trilby and smoking a pipe.
Elaine, hi. You look great.
Hi, Carl. I'm wet.
Yes, it is raining. Who's this?
Pleased to meet you. Benjamin Braddock, traveling salesman.
Hi, sport. Great to meet you.
That's a firm grip you have there, Clyde. Sorry, what was your name?
It's Carl. So, what do you sell?
You know, stuff.
Benjamin's an old friend, just visiting. We bumped into each other.
By chance, on the bus. I'm visiting the rhinoceros, the striped one. We're old friends.
We grew up together. Our families are old friends.
Charming. So, Elaine, let's go, shall we? We said we'd meet the others for tea at 4, and it's nearly 3 now.
Oh, yes.
Goodbye, Benjamin. Great to meet you.
Likewise.
Elaine, come on now.
Yes. Goodbye, Benjamin.
Goodbye. I hope...
Oh, shh.
Elaine, come on!
Coming! Goodbye, Ben. Wait, Carl, I'm coming.
I stood watching her leave. She had been so close. Now she'd gone off with Colin or Klaus or whatever the chump's name was. I walked around in the rain for a while. I didn't see Elaine again. So when I was soaked to the bone, I got the bus home. A couple of days went past. Nothing happened. By now, I was depressed. I'd spent a lot of money, my landlord clearly thought I was crazy, and I still hadn't asked Elaine to marry me. I wrote another letter to my folks, which I didn't send. I tried to find Elaine, but failed. So I did my laundry. There wasn't much space to hang my socks, but I was trying.
Come in.
Hi.
Elaine. Come on in. Sorry, not much room. Laundry and there's nowhere to dry.
It's fine. I'll just stay here.
No, come on. Look, I'll put these things somewhere else. There. Please, sit.
No. I prefer to stay here.
You're kind of standing in the hallway.
I know. It's fine. I wanted to ask you something.
Sure. It's nice to see you. I'm really pleased you...
Why did you do it?
What?
It.
Sorry, I'm not quite... What it?
Don't make me say it!
Elaine, I'm sorry. I'm really, truly sorry. It is over, for good.
Over? How can you say that?
Because it never meant very much.
How can you say that?
Because it's true.
How can you be so callous?
Elaine, if I'm really honest, to be totally truthful, when I met you again, when we went out, it was the first time. I mean, I felt totally
how
in...
How could you? How can you even think that when you raped my mother?
Raped her? No, I did not rape your mother. Did she tell you that?
She said she bumped into you in a hotel bar one night. She'd had a few drinks, you got talking, you bought her drink after drink after drink, and the next thing she knew, she was naked in bed with you on top
of- Elaine, please, come in and close the door. Please, come in and I can guarantee you will have the truth. That is simply not true. I would never rape your mother. I would never rape any woman. God, that's disgusting.
Oh, really? You find my mother disgusting?
No, that's not... Come in, please.
No!
We can't talk about this with the door open. Please.
Okay. But you stay there by the window, and I stay here.
Elaine, you have got to believe me. I did not...
Don't rape... you touch me!
I'm not... But you have to believe me, I did not rape...
Please stop using that word!
Okay, but I really, really did not do that thing to your mother.
So, she's lying?
Yes. Yes, she's lying.
I don't know what to think.
Believe me, I love you.
Oh, God.
I do. You're everything to me. I adore you.
So why would my mother say that?
I don't know. Maybe she's scared.
Of what?
The truth?
Which is?
I can't tell you that. I don't know what she thinks is true or not. It's something that older people get kind of scared around. I've noticed that with my folks, too.
But your mother doesn't go around accusing young men of raping her, does she?
No. Elaine Robinson, will you marry me?
What?
I love you. I want to marry you as soon as possible.
Oh, God! Benjamin, are you crazy? This cannot be happening. I think you're crazy.
I'm not crazy. I'm in love.
Don't be ridiculous! I barely know you. We go out on one date, you insult me, and then I find out
I absolutely have not raped your mother! I did meet her in a bar, but it was an arrangement. We had an arrangement. She asked me to see her before, then we had a drink. She made me get a room, and I went up. She came up too and got undressed.
Stop
she
it.
Asked me to undo
it. Stop it!
Elaine, be quiet!
This is my mother you're talking about! Please stop! Nothing makes any sense!
Nothing, sir. Nothing. My friend was just a little upset.
Have you got a woman in there?
Yes, sir, I have. It's 4 o'clock in the afternoon. It is allowed.
Is she all right? Are you all right, young lady?
She's fine.
I'm fine.
Just got a little carried away.
I felt a little faint, that's all. I'm fine now.
You're sure?
Yes, thank you.
She's fine. Go away. Please.
Young lady. You're sure you're okay?
Yes, I'm fine. It was a misunderstanding.
Braddock, I don't know what you're up to, but I don't like it. Your lease is terminated.
What?
I'm kicking you out. I want you out by the end of the week.
But I paid in advance.
You have a week. You hear me? You hear me, Braddock?
I hear you.
Good. No more screaming.
I'm sorry I screamed.
It's okay.
Now you're homeless.
It's not such a great place.
Because of me.
It really doesn't matter, Elaine.
Where will you go?
I don't know.
You have to have a plan. What about going back to school?
No.
You should think about that.
I'm not going back to school. Not now, anyways.
You really came up here just because of me?
Yes.
But what do you live on?
I sold my car.
The present from your folks?
Yep.
You shouldn't have done that.
I didn't have any money.
You can't stay here.
No. I might go to Mexico.
Oh. Well, that'd be nice.
Or Canada.
Great idea.
Not really. I don't know. I'll think of something.
She stayed for a little while, then she left. I really didn't have any kind of plan. I never had a plan. Apart from marrying Elaine, which wasn't working out. So that did rather leave me with a problem. Plus, I'd sold the car and was imminently homeless. I sorted my clothes, which weren't very dry, and looked out of the window. Berkeley seemed pretty much the same. Busy people going places, lives being lived, books being read, and cars moving from A to B. It didn't really make much sense. Nothing did. So I went to bed.
Hello? Hello? Is that you, Mr. Robinson?
Sir, please, don't do this. I really need to sleep, and my landlord will have me arrested if he finds you here. He thinks... Never mind what he thinks. This is not appropriate, Mr. Robinson.
It's me.
Oh, God. I'm dead.
Don't be silly.
Both your parents have issued dire threats if I ever talk to you again. We already went to the zoo once. You were in my room screaming this afternoon. My landlord has told me to leave. He'll probably call the police next. You're here at night, and I'm in bed naked. Am I being silly?
Benjamin, I didn't want you to leave like that.
Like what?
Not knowing what you plan to do.
Right.
I'm worried about what'll happen to you.
So, you sneak into my room at 3 a.m. to check on my itinerary?
Sort of.
I am so dead. But it doesn't really matter, Elaine. You're not gonna marry me.
I didn't say that.
What?
I didn't say I wouldn't.
You didn't say you would?
No.
So it's rather the same thing, isn't it?
I don't know.
So you might? Elaine, you might?
Will you kiss me?
Oh, yes. Yes, of course I'll kiss you. I'll come to you. Wait. Elaine?
I'm confused.
Don't be. We're getting married.
I don't see how we can.
We just can.
I have to get back to my room. I'm not supposed to be out after 12.
What's happening?
What do you mean?
Are you serious about this?
I'll think about it.
Please.
I promise.
When can I see you again?
Tomorrow night. Goodbye.
Good God. Oh! Elaine!
What?
You aren't joking, are you?
No!
You'll think it over?
Yes!
And I'll see you tomorrow night.
I promise!
I was stunned. Elaine Robinson had actually agreed to consider marrying me. I really was stunned. I no longer cared that I was penniless, homeless, carless, and frankly, planless. There was now a glimmer of hope that Elaine Robinson might actually become my wife. I barely slept. I was on my way out to find coffee the next day.
Whoa!
Hello, Benjamin.
Mrs. Robinson,
I warned you, didn't I? Didn't I? And think carefully this time. Don't just say, again like an idiot.
How are you, Mrs. Robinson?
Didn't I?
Yes, you did. You did, so please don't think I'm doing this hastily.
Doing what?
This. Stepping towards you. Look, my hands are empty. I'm taking my coat off and putting it on the floor. See?
See what?
No weaponry.
Don't be ridiculous, Benjamin. And keep your clothes on, for heaven's sake. Now is not the time.
I was not intending... Please! Do you have any weaponry, Mrs. Robinson?
This is absurd. Did you really come all this way just for my daughter?
I did.
You must really care for her.
I do.
And you think you're gonna get married?
We are.
Not much of a view from here, is it, Benjamin?
Not really.
Quite a nasty little room.
Yes. Why are you here, Mrs. Robinson?
We're getting divorced.
You and Mr. Robinson?
No, me and Santa Claus. Yes, me and Mr. Robinson, you idiot.
I'm sorry.
I'm not. We have separate beds, you know. Have done for years.
That's not really my business, Mrs. Robinson.
Nor is my daughter. You are not going to marry her.
Yes, I am.
No, you're not.
That is for Elaine to decide, I think. It's her life.
A long time ago, I went to college.
I know. You studied art.
And I was dating Mr. Robinson then, and it was fun, and I had a future. And then all of a sudden, I had to leave college.
Because?
I had to leave college.
But I don't see...
Don't be an idiot, Benjamin. My, you can play dumb, can't you? I got pregnant with Elaine.
I see. That's a shame.
Yes, it is. But there it is. I had to get married. And life's moved on, and now I am old. Elaine is too young.
Yeah, but she doesn't have... There's no... This is awkward to say, Mrs. Robinson, but Elaine and I, we've never even... So she doesn't have to, if you see what I mean.
I do see what you mean, Benjamin. However, I know what is best for my daughter, and marrying you is not it.
Well, with all due respect, that is not for you to say.
I am her mother. It is for me to say, and I do. Goodbye, Benjamin. For the last time, we won't be seeing each other again.
And she swept out of my room. Now the entire family had made an appearance. At least she'd had the courtesy to visit during the daylight hours. But why had she come? And where had she gone? I couldn't figure it out. All I knew was, I had to get to Elaine before she did.
Braddock! Oh. Wait a minute!
Not now!
It was nearly lunchtime, so I knew that if Elaine was still in Berkeley, she'd be in the cafeteria. I ran all the way there. When I arrived, there were already several lines forming at the counters where the serving staff were loading up pots of steaming food and setting out salad. The room was full of empty tables and chairs, but no Elaine. I could see another line forming at the other end of the counters. I had no idea if this was her lunch shift or not, so I went up to one of the lines and asked,
Elaine, do you know Elaine?
Elaine who?
Robinson, this is her hall.
You don't mean Elaine Tensher.
Oh.
She rooms down the hall.
No, I mean Robinson. I really need to speak to Elaine Robinson now. It's very urgent.
Did you arrange to meet her here?
Never mind.
I asked a few more girls, but no one seemed to have even heard of her. Never mind know what time she ate lunch. I was getting some odd looks from the counter staff now. I sensed time was running out. I needed to find out right away if she was there. So I jumped onto a table.
Hey. Elaine! Elaine Robinson, are you in here?
I don't know.
Elaine, I love you! Elaine, are you in here?
I guess she's not.
Great. Thanks. Sorry about your lunch.
No sign of Elaine. By now, I was sure Mrs. Robinson must have kidnapped her. There was no way she'd go willingly. I called the Robinson's house, but there was no reply. By the time evening came, I'd run out of ideas and luck. I decided to risk going back to my room to get my stuff and then think of a plan to find Elaine. I was about to open my front door.
Hello, Ben.
Dad!
I think we better have a talk.
Dad, I hate to say this, but I just don't have time to talk right now.
I think you do, Ben.
Dad!
Shall we go in?
I just don't know how you could have done it.
Was it her fault, Ben?
No.
How did it happen?
I don't know.
I want you to sit down
and tell me how it happened. Tell me when it started.
I don't remember.
Tell me when it started, Ben.
It started last summer. It started the night of the graduation party.
Did you sleep with her that night?
No, but she wanted me to.
And what did you tell her?
That I didn't think it was right.
And she kept after you?
No.
What then?
I called her up one night. I was depressed. I said I'd buy her a drink. She met me.
Where?
A hotel.
Which hotel was it?
Dad, this is not pleasant for me.
Please, pack up, now.
What?
You're driving back with me now. Get your things together.
No.
Yes, Benjamin.
Dad, I appreciate that you're concerned enough about me to come up here, but I cannot leave this place.
Because of Elaine?
That's right.
Benjamin, I don't ever want you to see her again in your life.
Dad, I can't help it.
You have to help it.
I can't.
I am going to tell you something. Mr. Robinson was sitting in our living room two nights ago, crying like a two-year-old child because of what you did to him. He was sobbing and crying, Ben. He was beating his hand on the cushion like a little baby. He was... You have an appointment in the morning with a doctor.
What?
You have an appointment with a psychiatrist.
I don't think I heard you correctly.
I think you did.
Listen to me. Whatever else may be wrong with me, there's nothing wrong with my mind.
Get to it, Ben. Get your things together.
Dad, I don't know if you brought a straitjacket up or not, but if you didn't, you're going to have one hell of a time getting me...
Forgive me for that, Ben. Here, I'll help you pack.
Sure, Dad. Thanks.
I'm wrought up by this. I'm very badly shaken. I want you to forgive me for that. I want you to try and understand.
I understand.
I hope so. Where are you going?
The bathroom. It's out in the hall. It's a long drive home.
Sure. Go ahead, son.
I won't be long, Dad.
Ben. Forgive me for this. I'm a wreck.
It's all right.
I'm a complete wreck.
Dad, I understand.
I went into the bathroom, turned on the taps as loud as I could, and tiptoed down the stairs just as fast and as quiet as I could. I raced to Elaine's halls and got them to call down her roommate.
Hi.
Hi. I really need to find Elaine.
She's not here.
Where is she?
I don't know. Her dad collected her this morning, and they left.
Did she say where she was going?
No.
So she's gone home, right?
Maybe.
Did she go willingly? Was she okay about leaving?
Yes, of course. She was a little...
Scared?
No. She was a little sad. Actually, she was a lot sad. She was crying.
Did she leave a message? Anything?
Oh, yes. She did.
What was it?
I don't know.
Can you repeat the message?
No, I can't. Look, I have a math test in the morning, and I'm really stressed, so can you just go home now?
This is a matter of life or death.
Sorry, I can't help you.
Nothing. Nothing at all. Nothing for Benjamin.
Oh. Are you Benjamin?
Yes. Yes, I am.
You should have said. It was all a little crazy. She left you this letter? I had to hide it in my book so her dad wouldn't see it. Here.
Ugh. Why didn't you tell me right away? There's no time.
You didn't tell me your name.
Dear Benjamin, I promise you someday I will write a long letter about everything. But right now I can't think, and all I can say to you is please forgive me because I know that what I'm doing is the best thing for you. I love you, but it would never work out. Go to Canada, or somewhere I can never see you again. Elaine.
Wendy, will you do something for me?
I have a math test.
I know, so this will be quick. Can you call Elaine at home? I really, really need you to call her for me.
Why don't you call her?
Please.
Look, if you don't mind, I'd rather not get mixed up in some cruddy love affair.
Do it. You will call her now.
Okay. Okay, I'll call her. Can you let go of my arm now, please?
Thank you. Let's go. There's a booth in the street.
So we called. Well, it's Wendy. Wendy called and I listened. Mr. Robinson answered. He said Wendy couldn't talk to Elaine right now, but he'd pass on the message.
Okay.
So I grabbed the phone off of her.
Mr. Robinson, where is your daughter? Where is she? What have you done with her? God damn it.
What did he say?
Nothing. Put the phone down.
Oh dear. Can I go study now?
Sure. Go study. This is really... it's so hard. I'm sorry about this. Good luck with your test. I hated math.
Me too. Thanks. She likes you, Benjamin. I think she really likes you.
Thanks.
Don't give up. There must be something you can do.
Yeah, I guess.
You shouldn't give up. Really, she likes you a lot. Go get her.
Yeah. There is something. Thanks. Thanks, Wendy.
You're welcome. Good luck.
I flew straight down to LA and reached the Robinsons' house as night fell. I stood outside looking at it for some time. There were no lights on upstairs, and downstairs the curtains were all drawn. At one point, Mr. Robinson came out front and picked up a newspaper on the grass. I hid. Then when he had gone back in, I crept round the back. I could see Mrs. Robinson sitting in the back porch. The lights were out, but I caught the glint of her glass as she drank every now and then. The house was totally silent. I went round the side and sneaked into the kitchen. I took off my shoes so they wouldn't hear me. My plan was to get upstairs and find Elaine. Just as I was in the hall near the stairs...
Hello, Benjamin.
Where is she?
What the hell are you doing here?
Where is she?
Get out.
What have you done to her? I have to know.
Do you?
Yes.
Tell you what, Ben. Why don't you come back in a week or so?
What?
You come back in a week or two, then we'll give you the whole story.
What have you done to her?
It's time you left, young man.
Ask Carl.
Who?
Carl Smith.
Don't tell him.
What? That idiot?
Yes, that idiot.
Leave now, Benjamin Braddock, or I'll call the police.
Fine. Fine, I'm leaving. But I will find her. You can't stop me!
Goodbye, Benjamin.
The next day was Saturday. I landed at San Francisco Airport just before dawn. I went straight to a phone booth and looked for Carl Smith in the directory. There was just one listed. I called, but no one replied, so I tore the page out and got a taxi to the address. I got into the building and found his door. There was a folded-up bit of paper tacked onto it, addressed to someone called Bob. I ripped it down and read it. It was even worse than I had feared. The note was from Carl inviting his friend Bob to his wedding, to Elaine Robinson. It was taking place at 11 a.m. that morning at a church in Santa Barbara. I didn't want to lose her. I couldn't even contemplate losing her. By the time I landed back in Santa Barbara, it was 11 a.m. There were no taxis, so I ran all the way to the First Presbyterian Church on Allen Street. I think if I'd run any more, my head would have burst. I could barely breathe. I made it to the doors, but they were locked. I hammered on them, but the organ was too loud. It was blaring out.
Elaine! Elaine!
I ran all the way around. All the doors were locked. Then I saw a staircase, so I ran up that, two steps at a time. The door at the top was open. I stopped. I had a bird's eye view of the guests. They were standing. Nearly all of them were looking towards the rear of the church. Most of the women were wearing white gloves. One was holding a handkerchief up to her eyes. Carl and another boy were standing at the front of the church. Both were wearing black tuxedos with white carnations in their lapels. I saw Mrs. Robinson. She was standing at the front of the church wearing a small hat. Then a girl wearing a green dress came walking slowly under me and down the aisle toward the altar. Another girl also appeared wearing a green dress. Then another, then another. Then suddenly Elaine appeared, a piece of white lace on the top of her head. She had on a white wedding dress with a long train that followed her slowly over the thick red carpet. She was holding her dad's arm and moving towards the front of the church, to Carl.
Elaine! 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 Elaine!
She looked up. She saw me. She just looked at me. Then her dad shook her arm. She looked back to the front. The minister opened his book, and he started reading.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to celebrate the union.
No! No!
Benjamin, go away! Get out!
Mrs. Robinson, I will not! I will not leave this church without Elaine!
Her dad held her arm. She was right next to that nitwit Carl, and the minister kept reading. I started trying to clamber over the railing, then realized I'd probably kill myself in the fall. So I'd be dead, and Elaine would have to be married to that clown Carl for the rest of her life. I couldn't let that happen to her. I turned and ran down the balcony, found another door, ran down some wooden stairs, and burst through a door to find myself eyeball to eyeball with Mr. Robinson.
Braddock, leave my daughter alone. Leave her alone!
I really, really didn't want to. But Mr. Robinson grabbed me, so I had no choice. I punched him.
Ow!
He fell over.
Benjamin, what are you doing?
What does it look like? Come on, take my hand.
Okay.
I'm sorry about your dad.
Elaine, what are you doing with this madman?
Shut up, Clyde.
It's Carl.
Whoever.
Get your hands off my fiancée.
Shut up! Ah! Oh!
Benjamin, stop hitting people!
I love you.
I love you too.
My face!
How dare you? How dare you?
Get out of my way, Mrs. Robinson.
You will not do this, Benjamin.
Mrs. Robinson, I don't want to hurt you too.
Mother, get out of our way. Now.
Elaine, don't. Please. You will regret this forever.
I won't, Mother. I'll regret it forever if I don't.
Now listen here, young man. This is beyond the pale.
I don't know what came over me then. I really don't. My parents had raised me right and all that, but this was... I don't know, this was the most important moment in my whole life. Mr. Robinson was staggering towards me. Carl was behind him, his carnation hanging off, and frankly, Mrs. Robinson looked about ready to slaughter me with her bare hands. I reached out, found the closest thing to a weapon I could and waved it above my head. It was the brass cross off the altar.
Nobody move! The first person who moves gets the cross!
Elaine!
Run! Come on, Elaine, run!
Benjamin, this dress! I can't!
Yes, you can! Come on!
We got out, and I barred the door with the cross. It was just the right length. Then we ran.
There! That bus! Come on! Look here. Where's this bus go?
Morgan Street.
All right then. We'll go to Morgan Street.
We walked to the back of the bus. The driver got out of his seat to watch us. I was sweating like crazy and beaming like the king of the world.
I was the happiest man in the universe. This was the single best day of my life. Most of the passengers stood partway up in their seats and stared at us. As Elaine's train dragged slowly down the bus, past the cigarette ends and gum wrappers on the aisle, they turned their heads to follow it.
Get this bus moving! Get this bus moving!
All right.
I really was the happiest man in the world. Elaine reached over and held my hand. We just sat there, on our way to Morgan Street.
Benjamin?
Elaine looked at me. She looked like an angel. I reached out and held her hand.
Where should we go?
East. Let's go east.
Benjamin was played by Danny Mahoney. Elaine by Samantha Dakin. The Landlord by William Hope. Mrs. Robinson by Sean Thomas. Mr. Robinson by Michael Crossman. Carl by David Blackwell. The Student by Stella Martin. And Wendy by Julia Coulter. The Graduate was adapted by Polly Thomas and was a BBC Cymru Wales production directed by Kate McCall.
The American travel writer and author Paul Theroux discusses his latest novel in open book. That's in a couple of minutes. There's comedy at 6:30 every weekday evening on the home of radio comedy, BBC Radio 4. On Wednesday, in My Teenage Diary, Rufus Hound invites guests to delve into their youth and revisit their teenage angst.
Thursday, the 11th of October. Today, after the disco, I found a cure. Brackets, boys. If I'm to go out with a boy I really like, I forget about Elaine or Susan or anyone else I'm attracted to.
Rona Cameron revisits her teenage days in rural Scotland, wrestling with her emerging sexuality. My Teenage Diary, this Wednesday evening at 6:30 on BBC Radio 4.